Although I was going to do my best, Brother Hewitt's kept you in the wilderness for the last several children of Israel struggle for 40 years in the wilderness. I was going to try to get you out in 30 minutes, and that ain't going to happen. But I do want to set the stage, and perhaps this probably would be more of a series of a message, but there's some things I want to point out to you today. And I made mention for a while about the message that the Lord had been laying on my heart. Your wilderness doesn't have to be your graveyard. All the children of Israel that come out of Egypt, every one of them died in the wilderness. But I just want to emphasize to you, every one of us goes through a wilderness, but it does not have to be your graveyard. Look at your neighbor and say, my wilderness ain't going to be my graveyard. It does not have to be your graveyard. If you would turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 35. And as you're turning there, I'm just going to kind of set the stage. That's why I'm not going to do this message justice. But there are some things I want you to concentrate on and think about. There were some people that desperately I wish would be here today, because I feel like that the wilderness has drug out longer than 40 years. And perhaps you're here today and you feel like your wilderness has drug out longer than 40 years. But I'm here to tell you, your wilderness does not have to kill you. God made provisions for the children of Israel in every aspect of that wilderness that they went through. God made provisions for them. You'll find in the book of Numbers that because of their rebellion, because of everything that they'd done, God said, you're going to die in the wilderness. You'll find in the book of Joshua, it was reiterated where Joshua told the people that was left that this is a circumstance and this is what had happened. You'll find in the book of Hebrews that we are reminded of the history that happened to the children of Israel, but it does not have to happen to us. You'll find that all through the Scriptures that we are made more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. There is so much to help us to realize that, and every one of us, Chris mentioned it a little bit in class this morning. Brother Hutz mentioned in the Wednesday night classes. And let me take a break and a side note right here. If you feel like that God is gifting you in one of the 9 spiritual gifts, you need to be here beginning this Wednesday night, because we're going to speak extensively on the gifts of the Spirit. And the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God is without repentance. I'll get back to my message in a minute. But if you feel like God is dealing with you, working with you through the gifts of the Spirit, you need to be here and need to understand and be taught and realize the depth of that gift that God has given you and how He wants to use you in greater measure. Somebody say amen. Through the wilderness the children of Israel went through, they did not have to die in the wilderness. It did not have to become their graveyard, but for millions of them, it did become their graveyard. One of the things that I just want to point out to you, that regardless of what has happened in the past, and we can think about the past of how great that God has moved in past times, and cancers have dropped off of people, and people have, the sickness has been healed, and the lame has walked, and the eyes have been opened, and all those circumstances have taken place. But we can see in the last several years of the decline that has taken over the church, and it seems like that it's more socialism than it is spiritualism. And it seems like that we want more of the world invading the church instead of the world, or the church invading the world. But I just want to tell you today that it doesn't happen like that. But I how many believes the Scriptures? And I believe what the Bible says, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He said He's going to rain upon those, and He's going to give us the former rain, and He's going to give us the latter rain. And it seems like there's such a spiritual decline in our world today, but I believe that God has a remnant. Can somebody say amen? And just let me give you just a little example of that, if you can bear with me for just a few moments. When all the children of Israel that come up out of Egypt, except just 3 or 4, all of those that died there in the wilderness, it become their graveyard. When Joshua took them over into Canaan's land, and they reinitiated a covenant between God and His people. You know what that covenant was? They had, for all those that had been born in the wilderness, every one of them had neglected the covenant that God had made with them. And that was circumcision. And I'm not going into that aspect of it now. But I just want to tell you that they had neglected that all through the wilderness. There's spiritual covenants that we have neglected that God has given us, and we need to reconnect with that covenant. When Joshua got all the children of Israel over into Canaan land, and he began to essay all the circumstances that was going on, and he looked at all the male children that had come up, that was born in the wilderness and come over into Canaan's land, he reconnected and brought back together the covenant, and all the male child was circumcised. In the New Testament, it says no longer that kind of circumcision, but the cutting away of the flesh of the heart. We need to get rid of it. And this generation, somebody say this generation, needs to reconnect and reinitiate the covenant that God has made with them, because He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will see visions. God has a plan and a purpose for this generation. Somebody just preach with me for just a little bit. I've been preaching this message to myself for about 2 weeks now, so if I don't make it in 40 days, just stay with me, okay? In Isaiah chapter 35, just one real quickly, I'd hopefully give you just a little bit of the synopsis of what happened in the past, but in every situation in our wilderness, God has made provisions. Not just enough, but more than enough. God has made a way to get us totally out of the wilderness if we'll just trust Him. Somebody say, trust Him. In Isaiah chapter 35, beginning in verse number 1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellence of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellence of our God. The reason this needs to take so long is we need to understand the concept. We understand that this is talking about Israel. We was in Israel just a little over a year ago, literally driving through the desert. There was places in that desert that was blooming. There was fig trees. There was fields of produce everywhere. They was literally blooming in the desert. Now the reason this passage of Scripture, it gives basically the same thing of what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness, and God is promising it in Isaiah. Isaiah seen it, looking into the future of the cross, of what will happen. Today we read in the New Testament, behind the cross, looking back at the cross of what's already happened. God has already done the work for you and me. And even though we go through wildernesses in our life, God wants to restore you, renew you, and give you the ability to run the race and not allow the desert to kill you and become your graveyard. Strengthen ye your hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come as vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and serve you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears shall be deaf and unstopped, the lame shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb is going to sing. For the wilderness shall break forth with waters, and the streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall be pulled, and the thirst land springs of water, and the inhabitants of the dragon where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, and the unclean shall not pass over it. And I'll let you finish the rest of that passage of Scripture. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You can go ahead and read the rest of that this afternoon. Four things that I want to mention to you real quickly. I want you to understand that these things, that God has blessed you, God has touched you. You do not have to allow the wilderness to become your graveyard. Well, first thing is strength, and then I want us to look at the signs and the wonders that He's given us, the streets that He has given us, and the streams that He has given us. All through our lives, those things that the children of Israel experienced in the wilderness, God supplied them in their lack. He gave in abundance in your life everything, and it's told there in Isaiah 35, those things that was lacked, God promised. He said, I'll give you in abundance. I'll take care of it. Number one, verse number 3 tells us there that he would strengthen your hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense, and he will come and save you. That means the hands are to do worship. The knees are to walk and pray. The heart is to think and to take courage and be strong in the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And in the New Testament, he said, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Gotta stop there for just a second. Point. How many knows he cares for you? Did you know that you're not to carry your burdens? You are sheep. Have you ever went anywhere and said, I need some sheep to carry my burdens? Hello? Sheep are not made to carry burdens. In this passage of Scripture, it says to cast all your burdens upon him because he cares for you. In the original, that means to roll off those burdens that are on you and put them on Jesus. Back when they had caravans that carried burdens, donkeys and camels in particular, but the reason that camels was used in the desert place was because that hump on their back, they could carry four more times the water amount on their back and reserve it as they went through the desert. And so history tells us that they had several camels, and those camels, they would put all the burden on one camel, and they would go through the desert till he played out and run out of water, basically, and then they would put it on the next camel. They found out that they would get farther by doing that than they would by spreading the baggage on all the camels at one time. But I said all that to say this. They said those camels that carried that baggage, when it come to the place that they was to take care of that, they would lay down themselves and they would simply roll over till they rolled the cares off of them. And that's what the Lord was telling us. Cast all your cares. Roll off those cares. You're not a camel, you're a sheep. You're not to carry those. Jesus Christ said, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. We are to throw upon. Sheep were never intended to be a pack animals. First off, let us forget all the years. Let's not forget all the years that the children of Israel was in slavery. God gave them the strength to survive, and now is giving them the freedom to receive the promise of what they never worked for. Listen to me, church. God loves you so much that he's offering you a place you never worked for. There is so many transitions. The wilderness does not have to be your graveyard. If perhaps I don't get any farther, you need to get this. Don't forget, the children of Israel come out of Egypt as slaves, right? God give them the strength to survive the slavery. And now he is giving them the freedom to receive the promise, that which they never worked for. Did he not tell the children of Israel, I'll take you to a place that is cities that you didn't build, vineyards that you never planted? Has God not promised you that he would bless you, make you the head and not the tail? He'd make you the lender and not the borrower? Has God not promised that he would bless you, that he would bless your going out and your coming in, that his blessings would pursue you? Somebody say amen. Can I tell you? Listen, once the children of Israel worked for that which they could never be compensated for, now they have an opportunity to be compensated for that which they never worked for. Did you get that? They worked as slaves, never to be compensated for. You can't work for your salvation. Right? You cannot work for your salvation, but yet God has promised that He would compensate you for something you could not be compensated for here. The children of Israel could never be compensated or would never be compensated for the work they did in Egypt. But He said, I'll compensate you for that work that you have not done because you're My child and I love you. That's it. That's it. Just because we're His child, that's it. No other reason, no other purpose, because He loves you and He cares for you. Oh my, I got to hurry. So He's not only has He promised us that He would give us strength. How many knows He'll give you strength? Somebody say strength. But He's also has promised and He has given us signs and wonders. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be stopped. Then shall the lame man leap with a harp. And the tongue the dumbs will sing. In the wilderness God made their shoes and their clothes last longer than they did. He healed their sick, made provisions for their sin, a method of redemption with the snake being mounted on a pole. He fed them manna and quail when they were hungry and sheltered them from the heat of the sun with the cloud by day and warmed them by night by the fiery cloud by night. All the signs and wonders of God's love He showed them should have been enough, but whiners never seem to get the bigger picture. Hello? Whiners never seem, because they have so much on their mind of where they're at, they never see God's bigger picture. Whiners never. What is that evangelist name that has cerebral palsy? His last name? What's his first name? David Ring. Thank you, Brother Pete. Praise the Lord. How many's ever heard Brother David Ring? Awesome testimony they has. He tells of all his situation, all his problems. He said, "That's my problem. What's your excuse?" Children of Israel never made it out of the promised land because they was whiners. They could not see God's bigger picture of all the signs and wonders. Number four, the streams. He said, for in the wilderness shall waters break out. And you're thinking in your mind right now, you're remembering all the stories of how Moses and God talked and water came out, and the pools of Mirah, and how they was bitter, and a stick was thrown in and they was made sweet, all because of God's provisions. In the wilderness shall the waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become as a pool, and thirsty land springs of water, and the inhabitants of the dragon. Let me tell you, no matter what your desert looks like, no matter how dusty and dry it may be, no matter of the dangers that may seem to be in that wilderness, my God has promised that He would give us streams in the desert. Not one time did God go very long without quenching their thirst. From the speaking to the rock to striking the rock, throwing a stick in the bitter waters and making them sweet, providing an oasis in the midst of the desert and creating a supply that was more than enough. Hallelujah. Do you realize how much God's blessed you? He has blessed you so much that I'm trying to hurry through this message so you can go home and eat some grub and not tarry you here so long. I can done tell some of you's already checked out. You know what's waiting. You've already checked out. And I love you so much, I'm going to let you go take care of it. But until... He provides an oasis. All of these circumstances for the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 35. And in your life today, God has promised strength. He has promised signs. He has promised streams. And He has promised streets, a way where there seems to be no way. Oh, glory. God provided an oasis for them, and God will provide an oasis for you. Don't be blinded. Don't be a whiner. See the bigger picture. God's getting ready. God's performing a miracle. God's creating a character inside of you that you're going to fulfill the destiny that has for your life. Number four, the streets. In verse number 8 of chapter 35 of Isaiah, and a highway shall be there, a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall be go up therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The redeemed shall walk there. Glory. How many is redeemed? I've been redeemed by blood divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Can I just sum it up, maybe? Wouldn't you like for me to be able to preach this in about 2 or 3 days? That's what I thought. You're ready. What should have taken about 11 days to get to Canaan took Israelites 40 years. Around 6 million of them estimated that many people... Are you listening to me? Give me 2 more minutes and I'm going to close. Maybe 3. Okay? 11 days. It should have taken them from Egypt into Canaan. Around 6 million people left Egypt. Can you imagine? 6 million people approximately. It would have been estimated that it would have taken 1,500 tons of food a day. Wouldn't Walmart be happy? 1,500 tons of food a day. It would have taken 4,000 tons of wood for fire, for fuel a day. It would have taken 11 million gallons of water per day. Yet God provided all of this and more. And if God can take care of 6 million whiny people out of Egypt, if He can take care of all of them for 40 years and put up with them, even though they allowed their wilderness to become your graveyard, you don't have to allow your wilderness to become your graveyard, because the God I serve says, I'm more than enough to supply all your needs. Yet God provided more than enough. He created a highway in the middle of the desert for the people to travel on. How awesome is our God? And He has promised, in your life, I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. King David said, I was once young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Somebody say hallelujah. I want you to know today that the wilderness does not have to be your graveyard simply because it is not in your power, but the mercy and the grace of God, He is more than able to take care of you, to sustain you, to give you strength, to show you signs, to give you streams in the middle of your desert and make a way where there seems to be no way. Somebody stand and give God praise and glory and thank Him in this house for what He has done and what He's going to do, and has created a place for you that you can occupy, which you do not have to work for, because my God is God and He's alive forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I love You. I appreciate You. I give You glory and praise and honor. I thank You, Lord, that our worry is not ours, but we can cast all of our cares upon You. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll open our eyes and help us to see the bigger picture. For You're on the throne, high and lifted up, and You got all things in Your hands and in control. Bless Your people. Lord, all those that we prayed for and about this morning, God, let it come to pass. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name, and I'll see you Wednesday night.